Well, welcome, my radio audience. I want to say God bless you. It's been quite some time, but I'm so happy to be back on the air with Minister Slade. It's been a blessing over the years, and I'm just so happy to be airing on today. And I hope all of you have been blessed during this time as we continue to keep you in prayer and also keep all of our families in prayer dealing with this pandemic. And we know that God is a healer, and as he began to open things back up for us and those being healed and families being restored, I just hope that all of you had time to spend with your families and get some things together. So moving forward, we can move forward with a great business plan and get some things done. And we also want to keep the Floyd family in prayer before I get started and seeing what's going on through our nation. Of course, I'm an advocate for justice, and also keeping my prayers out towards all of the families that have been involved, even our city officials, in law enforcement, understanding that all law is not bad and all people are not bad. And just wanted to send my prayers out to his family, because that is a devastation. And as I was sharing with the congregation, that could be anybody, could have been any of our sons or brothers or cousins. And so we never want to take life for granted. And I think what we've seen here today is a great move and a great radical move in this time of standing up for what's right. And so happy about that. But today we want to come from the book of Acts, chapter 1, as we're dealing with Pentecost, as we just exited Pentecost Sunday, which was a tremendous service. And I just wanted to just kind of pick up from where we left off there. And we want to be, that'll be found in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. And if I was to label this title today, the life of Pentecost. And in verse 1, the Bible reads, "The former treaties have I made to Theopompus of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." In verse 3, he says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of them, of the things pertaining the kingdom of God." This is where I really want to emphasize on in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." I want to say amen to that scripture. As we know here in the book of Acts, understanding that this was the first covenant, this was stated by the first century church, the New Testament or the New Covenant that was established. And we understand the book of Acts is the Acts of God itself. And he's beginning to depart. And we understand that the resurrection have taken place. And now he's back from the dead. You know, we talk about the emphasis of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And now that this point, now he has been resurrected, and he is having a conversation with his disciples here. And he's sharing with them that this is something that's about to shift the whole nation. This is something that's about to shift the whole mankind. And what he was doing here is he's restoring the kingdom, or he's restoring even what happened in the Genesis about the Tower of Babel. Understanding the significance of that, the people at that particular time was on one accord in one place with one mindset, understanding that they have the kingdom of God at hand. And so with this passage, what he's doing is he's restoring even the time, and he's restoring even the blessing. And so this is something that we see here that he said that his Father had promised them. And so when they asked him this question, it's a very legitimate question. them asking, are you going to restore the time? Are you going to restore this? But he's about to give them a different type of dosage here, which he's saying that I know that you're asking me this, but what I'm about to do is I'm about to refill you with the same power that I have. And I think that's significant, even in this time that even in the Old Testament, how he said that he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And so in this time, the reason why this is so significant to receive his spirit, this Bible, the pastors call it the Holy Ghost. And I think it's a very important thing to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And some would say the Holy Spirit, because he's going to give us a function to function, and he's going to give us an intuition in this time. And I think this is the best time to receive him in a fully of his spirit, because he emphasized here, even in the text, when he said that John baptized with water, but he's saying that I'm about to take it further. So this is the time for your spiritual life to definitely incline, because I think we've been stuck in one dimension. And even as we've been seeing in the time change now through all of the things that have been going on, it's time to shift to a whole nother dimension. And so you can see when different things pass on, different batons pass on, different shift. We call it the paradigm shift. And so in this passage, he's saying that I need y'all to be on one mind. I need you to be on one spirit. I need you to be on one thought. And I need you to be so much in harmony with me. And he's saying that I don't want you to leave this place. If we see here in Jerusalem that all chaos was breaking out, let's just say all chaos was breaking out. And because they lost their prominent leader, a lot of people didn't have direction because they was used to walking with him for 3.5 years. But the great thing is that the teaching that he taught, I'm so glad to see some of the apostles that really walked with him understood the significance of his ministry. And I think that so many of us sometimes look at the blessing of Christ, but we don't really know who Christ is. And so it shows how, even in the midst of this chaos, if you really looked at it, how people had a lot of unanswered questions. People that had faith, that thought they had faith or thought they knew him, they didn't understand why is it that God is to happen. But we got to remember back in Genesis that he said that I'm giving man dominion over the earth, the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So he gave man dominion to rule the earth. And he's not, now he can override anything that we do by his sovereignty, but by his trust and his confidence in us, we see here that he invested in mankind to rule and have dominion over this earth. And that's why I was sharing with a lot of people that this pandemic didn't come from God, but this come from something that men tried to put in place that went sideways. Now, is God going to make the best or the good out of it? Absolutely. And so there's always a story to be learned or a lesson to be learned through whatever we go through. And it's ironic that not only the pandemic hit, but now we see the racial barriers broken. So now it leads to other questions that now things are shifting in the atmosphere completely. As I shared earlier, that we shouldn't be dealing with racial wars today's time, with all the legislations that passed, with all of the things that we endured and went through civil rights and all of that, we should be dealing with this. So it looks like even, and I'm gonna get back to the text, but it shows that we gotta come back and handle business that should have been handled a long time ago. And he's saying that you have to have a deeper intuition with me. And so now I wanna take you to another dimension. And that's why you should be filled with the Holy Ghost, because I'm about to give you a complete whole totality of an unction to understand all of the significance of not what's just happening in the physical form, but what's also happening in the spiritual form. Because so many people are looking so much in the physical that they miss spiritual. And so you have to collide the two together. When he created man out of his own image and his likeness, yes, he created him out of the dust of the ground. But then in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible said that he blew life, or he blew his breath into that dust. So it's a connection between spiritual and physical. You can't have one without the other. And that's why I tell people oftentimes, you can't be so heavenly bound that you know earthly good, but you can't be so earthly that you know spiritual good at the same time. But what he's telling them, he said, do not panic in this chaos. I know there's been an uproar. I know that there's been injustices. Even if you look in the passage, and this is in the book of Acts, this is over almost 2,000 years ago. So what we're facing now, this is not the first time we're facing this. Because if you remember in the text, this is when that they were being scattered. And so, but he said, I need you to get back to Jerusalem, which is represents the holy place. And I need you to go into a place, and I need you to go into an intercession of prayer. And this is not the time that you just pray with your eyes closed, but you have to, and I believe we have to be, take that Nehemiah spirit that he told Nehemiah that I want you to build the wall. I want you to build the city, but I want you to watch and pray. So you're putting your hands to the plow. You're not just praying with your head tucked into the ground, but you're praying with an expectation for God to give us revelation to go out and put our hands to the plow to make this century a better century. I don't believe that we're just here to just change our nation, but I believe that we're here to change our whole entire century. When we leave, what will we say? How did we impact the century? And so when that question comes to us, you know, when the Lord asks us a question, what did we do in our century? And so this passage, these apostles are about to revolutionize the entire century, that even today, 2,000 years later, we read in this text about what they did in the upper room. So we know that we got to lead through prayer. That's number one. Number two, we know we got to be led by the Spirit. So in that simple math there, 2 + 2 = 4. So I have to not only confess Christ in my life as my Lord and personal Savior, but then I want to go into a deeper depth and say, Lord, I want to receive your whole Spirit. I want to receive, some call it the Spirit or the Holy Ghost, so I can have the full mindset of God or Christ. And we see this in Philippians chapter 2. He said that when he's explaining, he said, let this mind be in you like Christ Jesus. And he had a boldness. He had an assurity. He had a confidence by faith. He didn't walk timid in this earth, and I don't think it's the time for us to be timid. And just as we're, you know, we're rallying, and just as we're doing that, we got to walk with faith too and know that God is a healer, and knowing that we're going to get past this time, and knowing that we got to allow life to get back activated. So in the upper room, which is very significant, they started with a very few people, and it went up to a lot of people, and then they came back down to the 120 that stood on one accord with Christ and got into harmony with him, and they took action of what they believed. And so that passage was so significant that when they began to receive his Spirit, that they began to speak that heavenly language. And that's number four, if I didn't hit number three. But when we go into a speaking his language, it's more than just going through the formalities of just speaking, but we're speaking that heavenly language. Again, back in Genesis, when we read before the Tower of Babel, they were speaking that heavenly language. They was on so much on one accord that when they began to build that tower, they had their mind made up, and God knew that they had their mind made up. Now, the difference between the apostles and these guys that was building the tower, those guys that were building it had a demonic activity in their life. They had a demonic thought. They were doing it for the wrong reasons. But now here we find in the upper room that the Spirit is released in the earth through these apostles. And he said, not only are you going to be filled, but I'm about to endue you with so much power that you're going to be witnesses throughout the entire world. So we should be a witness, and our fruit should show what we're doing, even in our witnesses, because now he's given us the antidote to everything we need to accomplish in this earth. And he restored all power back to mankind, because, you know, before this, before the crucifixion of Christ, we know that Satan came in and bamboozled Adam and Eve and took authority. But through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, we see here in the passage that he gave and restored mankind back power. So we don't have to go ask for it. We just have to declare it and decree it in the earth, and it shall be established as Daniel declares it. And so I'm just encouraging people on today to know that if you have received the Holy Spirit in your life, in the Hebrew text, in the King James Version, the Holy Ghost in your life, he's given you another level of power, which he called dunamis power. And don't be afraid to embrace it. And don't be afraid when you get into that place that you create that sanctuary within your house, at work, in your cubicle, wherever you are. And when you begin to start praying, don't be afraid to allow the Spirit of God to lead you into that heavenly language of prayer, because you're making intercession now with him, and you're back in harmony with him. And the Bible calls it in Corinthians, he said that you're speaking great mysteries unto God. So we never know who we praying for, even when we speak in that heavenly language, but we know that somebody's been affected in a positive way as we go to that in that prayer. And then when you follow up with, what we need to do is now, after we go into prayer, God, give us the revelation or interpretation of it. Now we got to follow up with action. And one of the greatest things I see in this passage, Mr. Slade, is that the apostles came out and Peter preached the day of Pentecost and 3,000 got saved that one day. When are we going to get back to the foundation of having a Pentecost moment? That people were drawn to the church daily, the Bible said, because they was in the spirit of God, they was in a harmony of Christ, and he gave them instruction and they executed the instructions. And we saw many positive results because of the spirit of God leading us in this season. And so that's what I just want to leave you all with. And I want to say God bless you. And if you have not been born again, I want to urge you to be born again. Accept Christ in your life as your Lord and personal Savior. Repent of all your sins and ask for forgiveness. And he's faithful and just to forgive you and me of our sins. And when you come into the kingdom of Christ, I want to say welcome you into the kingdom, my brother and sister. And I'm happy to see you one of these days and reach out. I'd love to connect with you in Jesus' name.